Hello, welcome to this edition of the Bearcats Basketball Blogcast. My name is Scott, joined by Matt Oper. How's it going, Matt?
It's going good. They finally got a win in the new fifth third, so hooray.
Yeah, Bearcats 1-1 on the year. Tough loss to Ohio State. Tough loss for many reasons to Ohio State. Then a nice bounce back against North Carolina Central team that is not particularly amazing. But the Bearcats actually played some solid offense and scored and won. Unlike the Ohio State game, where they did not play solid offense and did not win. Like, where do you want to jump in, Matt? Do you want to start with the Ohio State game, or do you want to start, like, in general?
Yeah, let's start with the Ohio State game. Yank that Band-Aid off to start.
Like, so much enthusiasm for, like, the opener at Fifth Third Arena. Like, the crowd was amazing. Like, all night. And they didn't really have, like, much reason to be the second half. Like, the first half, they came out on fire. And unfortunately, the Bearcats did not come out on fire. They only scored 4 field goals the first half. And if it wasn't for the weird officiating, like, who knows how many points they would have scored. They only scored 18 in the first half. And it was part of, like, their downfall because they fell into a huge second half hole and couldn't come back against Ohio State. The falling 64-56. Obviously, offense is like the number one takeaway. Did you have any other takeaways from that game before, like, we just dive right into that abyss?
Much like Mick Cronin, I also have an issue with the defense. And, like, I'm just going to say, for the record, Mick is full of shit. It doesn't matter how well they played defense in that game, they were going to lose because they played that badly on offense. Okay, let's get that out of the way. The biggest issue is this continued insistence on playing bigs at the same time. It was shown to be a bad strategy against Ohio State, just because any well-coached offense, not that there are a lot of those on the schedule in the next couple games, but against a well-coached offense that has size, any coach worth his salt is going to put Nysier Brooks in the action every single time. They're going to use his man to screen all the fucking time. And he is not good enough. He's not quick enough. He's not athletic enough. He does not have the foot speed to cover anybody outside of the restricted area. So unless they are going to have a fundamental rethink of how they are going to play defense with this kind of, amorphous, constant switching scheme, they just can't play Nysier Brooks against good teams in that scheme. It's just not going to work. Ohio State dragged him out of position constantly and feasted. It's a major problem for this team going forward if Mick is going to insist on playing Nysier Brooks 25 minutes a night, because against good teams, that's just going to blow up his face.
That was one of the big takeaways from that game. It's like they played Brooks 24 minutes in that game. And, like, especially the second half, it seemed Holtman really started going at him a ton with the Wesson brothers. Like, they both had good games. And, like, they're both capable of stepping outside to, like, pop threes. And one of the big shots of the game, like the dagger shot, was a Weston three-pointer to ice the game. And like that's something you definitely have to worry about, because like on the other end, it's like Brooks, like he tries like offensively, but like unless you're playing North Carolina Central, like I really don't know like what he gives you on like the offensive end. And like something like we talked about was like a timeshare scenario. Like, and that seems like they would be the best bet for him and Trey Scott. Like, play one of those guys at a time.
You almost have to, because Brooks is just, like, he is 7 foot tall and he's shooting 50%. Like, if you are that tall, you need to be 60 and above. But, like, and his percentages at the rim aren't good for somebody of his size. Like, he's been stuffed by the rim twice in two games. He's gone to dunk and been blocked by the rim twice. Like, I just don't see what he's giving you. Not that he doesn't have a role to play, but if you, like, he is just not equipped to play the role that Mick wants him to play.
Like, you can, like, point to his, like, rebounding numbers. Like, he had 4 offensive boards against Ohio State. He had 7 in the game against North Carolina Central. 7 overall rebounds. Like, at some point, like, I think you just need, you need a little more than, like, a big guy who can block shots. Because, like, when you flip it around, like, Trey Scott, like, is, does so much better when he has some space, when he has some room. And, like, when you play them both on the block, or, like, try to, like, pop Trey Scott out to the corner, it's like, A, they don't pass him the ball when he's out there. And, like, B, it's like your offense just clogs. And, like, when you have guys who are good at driving, like Keith Williams and Cumberland, like, it just really, like, tanks up your offense quite a bit. And we've seen Cumberland, like, only go to the line 7 times in the first 2 games, which I think is kind of worrisome, and, like, in a sense, because he should be going to the line, like, 7 times a game, period.
Yeah, and that's, but it's impossible for him to drive if you have 2 guys in there, and one guy who cannot play effectively outside of the restricted area. I just, if they don't have a fundamental rethink in terms of how they are going to approach the offense, this is going to be a long season, and it's not going to be a successful one either, because this is a group that can't play the way that Mick wants them to play. They don't have the interior post scoring. They don't have, you know, the focal point of the offense like Gary Clark or even Kyle Washington, where you can throw them the ball and you're going to get good offense out of giving them the ball. If your entire offense is structured around getting Trey Scott and Nysir Brooks post touches, and like we said this in the preview, if that's the offense, you have a bad offense, because that's just not what they're good at. I mean, Trey Scott cannot do anything in the post. He does not have a post move. Like, if he gets a touch in the post, the first thing he is doing is he is going to turn and face, because he's much more comfortable facing the basket than he is back to the basket. Nysir Brooks is a, you know, he is comfortable with his back to the basket. He's just not an efficient player in those situations. I mean, he's shooting 50% for the year. He is 7 foot tall. That is not good. But if that's the focal point of the offense, then it's not going to be a good offense. It's just, you cannot fashion a good offense out of that. If you're going to make that a focal point of what you're doing. Like, they had a lot of success against Ohio State when they went small with one big. And that was, you know, a huge key for them. And the comeback that did not work. They have to play like that. That's just the only way. I don't know how many games it's going to take for Mick to realize that that's what needs to be done.
It's like, we're not saying don't play those guys. We're just saying, like, space those guys out so they're not playing on top of each other. It's like, I think UC's best lineups in the Ohio State game, like, featured Brooks and Scott, which, like, doesn't say a lot about what they got from the bench, which I think is kind of another big issue. It's like, the bench didn't give them anything against Ohio State. And the bench against North Carolina Central, like, Logan Johnson had, like, a solid game. Like, Sosume, like, poured in a couple of buckets. But, like, Sosume is, like, interesting because he tries really hard. And, like, he's a nice, like, energetic player. But his, like, defense is, like, not Mick Cronin level defense. Like, in the slightest.
Yeah, and, like, they made a move to strengthen the defense in the North Carolina Central game. Like, that's my interpretation of it. I don't know if Mick is just pissed at Kane Broome for something, because he's been known to do that, to take somebody's starting spot for that. And, like, it is justification for it in the playoff, in the post-game conference was kind of funny, because it's like, yeah, the analytics said that we're better with Keith Williams. I'm like, you pay attention to analytics? Because you don't coach like it.
But, like, the analytics would show that after the first two games where, like, Cam Broome was 1-10 against Ohio State and just, like, generally not great. And then, like, he followed that up with the 0-3. Look at, he's 0-3, 2 turnovers, 2 fouls. Like, those numbers go against your analytics.
Yeah, and it's just, like, this is a new team. This is a rebuilding year. It's going to take time, but, like, it's also going to take a new structure for how you play offense. And I haven't seen enough on that front to be, you know, hopeful for the future, just to be frank about it. I don't know how many ways we can say it that you have to be better offensively. And, like, and there were moments in the North Carolina Central game where, you know, the offense was in a really good flow. Like they had a group with Logan Johnson. I think it was Justin Jennifer, Fredericks, Jerron, and I think Trey. And I really liked that group and the way they played and looked together. And they got a couple buckets in 2 minutes of play. And then they were immediately yanked. Like, they were playing well. The offense was looking good. It was flowing. They made one bad defensive rotation. And that entire group got pulled. And it's like, that's not helping. Like, the issue is not defense. Like, even as bad as they've been by Mick Cronin standards, they're still 25th. Like, the defense will be fine. The defense will sort itself out. The offense will not if you just leave it to its own devices.
And, like, you can point to some of that as, like, oh, that's just November basketball. Like, where, like, he yanks the whole group. But then, like, on the other hand, like, we've seen his rotations, like, the last 10 years. It's like, if you get, like, no run in November, you're going to get no run once conference play starts. Because Keith Williams, great example, like, he played solid November minutes. Like, then once they started playing anybody good, like, he sat almost the entire rest of the season, outside of, like, some spurts. And, like, I want to touch on him real quick. Like, he's been, like, he had 15 points in the Central game, 3 blocks. Like, he showed signs of, like, confidence in life against Ohio State. Only 1-6, though. But, like, he's, like, the only guy, like, on besides Cumberland, it seems like, who can get his own shot and, like, know what he wants to do. Like, you could throw Logan Johnson in there. But it seems like their offense, I don't know. Like, you have 3 guys who can create for themselves out of, like, 15 players. It's not, like, an amazing offense. And if you have a solid defensive team like Ohio State, like, with a good coach, like, they're going to take away some, like, those, like, Justin Jennifer shots and some of those, like, inside touches and really throw your offense for a loop.
Yeah, and, the biggest issue for this program has always, for years, has been they don't get easy buckets. Like, they don't run in transition. I don't know how many times in the last 5 years I've seen the Bearcats pass the ball ahead to somebody who's got one person in front of them, and then that one person stops and lets everybody pass him, and then he crosses half court. Like, 500, comfortably, 500 times I've seen that. And it's just, like, that's not when it is such a struggle to get buckets, they have to be more aggressive in seeking out easy buckets, and they're just not. And, like, I'm going to, and, like, fair warning to anybody who's going to listen to the podcast for the rest of the season, this is how I'm going to be, because this is where I'm at with this program. Regular season success is nice. That's fine. Like, winning conference titles, I'm happy about that. But I want to see success in March. And I don't know how many more times we need to see this same profile, the same shot profile, the same offense, go through a regular season and look okay, and then get to March and then just evaporate. Like, that's just where I'm at. Like, the regular season is its own thing. I want to see success in March. And everything that I watch from now until March is going to be judged against the template of what I know succeeds in March. Because, you know, like, there is a world of statistical analytics that will tell you that teams with a profile that Mick usually has don't do shit in March. Unless they get really lucky. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I want to see... The results for me at this point are secondary. I want to see a change in process. And I saw a little bit of that against North Carolina Central, but I want to see that, like... I don't want to see all the offensive gains from the non-conference schedule, which is what usually happens, go away as soon as the clock turns to 2019 and it's the conference season.
Well, one thing we know about Cincinnati basketball is that Cincinnati men's basketball and NCAA tournament luck go hand in hand.
Yeah, they're best buds. They hang out all the time.
The number one thing, to harp on the offense even more, that really has me worried, is the 3-point shooting. Like, you have two guys who have made 8 of your 11 makes, and the rest of the team has been, unbelievably bad. Like, Cumberland and Justin Jeffer are combined 8 of 19. The rest of the team is 3 for 21. Like, I know, Cambroom isn't going to, weigh bricks the whole entire season. And neither is Trevor Moore. But it's... I don't know. It seems like you have, a lack of shooting. And then Trevor Moore is going to play, 10 minutes a game. And we saw, him fall out of his rhythm last year after, lighting up non-conference. It's going to be something where, you have to give these guys a run. But he's going to cut down the rotation at some point. And some point's going to be, Thanksgiving week when they play that 2-game tournament?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, because then right after that is when they play UNLV, NKU, and start the real tough part of their schedule. And how many of these guys are going to get a ton of run? It's really Sosabe seemed like he'll play 8 minutes a game once they play somebody decent, not in November. And I don't know about the rest, which we still have a lot of time to learn about the team, especially with some of these cupcakes coming up. But there's some definite big red flags after 2 games.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's not even that there's red flags. It's there's not even an attempt to address it. There needs to be a fundamental change in how they approach offense. And it's only 2 games, but I'm not seeing it. And that's a problem.
Who knows how the Ohio State game turns out if, Jerron Cumberland doesn't take over and become the star of that game. Let's go back and, touch on him. He had, a monster game. 22 points, but 2 assists. Did have 4 turnovers to his 2 assists. But he had to do so much offensively. And he played really well. And it was the only reason, they were able to come back in that game. And he followed it up with a pretty solid performance against North Carolina Central. In a game that he could really take it easy in. But he did have 3 turnovers, 3 assists. So I think you're going to look at the one thing that's really harmed his game, his whole Cincinnati career so far. It's been the turnovers, and those really haven't gone down. And they probably won't go down too much if he's going to be so high usage. But he's definitely been as advertised, and he's 7th in the nation in possessions used, which is kind of really unbelievably high.
It's going to have to be that, because if he's not getting the possessions, who else is? I mean, seriously, what would the offense be if we didn't have Jerron Cumberland? And that's what's so frustrating. That's part of my frustration, is because Jerron is a very good offensive player. But, I don't see an attempt to maximize what he's good at. He is, you can make the argument he is the only offensive player that matters on this team. So if he's the only offensive player that matters, you need to structure your offense so that he gets to do what he does best. And what does he do best? He gets to the basket, right? But you can't get to the basket if there's a 6'10 dude standing on the block that just fucks up all your spacing. You don't really have lanes to run into. And it's just, like, that's such a basic fact that is not acknowledged in the way that this team plays. That's so, and I don't know how many ways we can say the same thing. I mean, it's like, you need to maximize your team so that he gets to do what he does best. And like, you saw this with the Sean Kilpatrick, Justin Jackson team. SK was a very good three-point shooter. He was also, by the end of his career, a very good ball handler and driver. And that offense, to the degree that it worked because they used Tyus Rubel, Tyus Rubel as a perimeter player, even though he was 6'9", whatever. And really with more of the skill set of a post player than a guard, they used him on the perimeter because they had to get him out of the lane so that SK had lanes to drive. And I guess they're trying to do that with Trey Scott at this point. But it seems like any time that Jaron takes off in the half court to get to the hoop, Nysir is just standing right in his way.
Yeah, and like, he's not spaced out far enough to get like those drive, like little drops like you see in like the NBA game, like where some of those big guys just like feast, like those little lob plays. Like, those aren't there because like, obviously the college lane is smaller, but like when he's standing right there, it's like it really cuts everything off, and like his guy just leaves him to help, which like doesn't really help out a ton anyway. Like, so like, that sense, it's like, I don't know why they just don't move on, like, a foot outside the box. Because, like, just that amount of spacing where, like, you have to make somebody decide what to do. Make somebody else make a play. Like, just seems like it would help a lot. Because what's the difference between an 8-foot shot and a 5-foot shot? Like, nothing. Like, he's 7 feet tall. He can make them both.
Yeah, I mean, like, there are so many opportunities for this offense. I mean, and, like, I am by no means a basketball tactician. Like, I don't know basketball as well as I know football. But some of the stuff even I can see. And the fact that these little opportunities are just kind of constantly bypassed is what's so frustrating.
Yeah, I thought... we'd see like him use Fredericks like a little bit differently than like they have. Like, his junior college numbers, like, obviously, like, just JUCO numbers. Like, he was a double-double machine, and like, all he's done is stand out on the wing, and he's got 2 rebounds in 2 games. Like, I thought like they would try to use him a little bit differently, even though he's shorter. But if you're not going to use them differently against, like, North Carolina Central, you're not going to use them differently against Xavier.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, this is the time for experimentation. This is the time to try shit. And what they're trying to do is take an offense which, based on previous production from the players involved and common sense, says is not going to work against teams that are good. It's not going to work in March. Like, this shit... if you're trying to run your offense through Nysir Brooks in March, congratulations on getting in the tournament. You're going home. Period. Like, he's just not that good. Like, he's a 7-foot guy who shoots 50%. And that's as good as he gets.
Then, like, he doesn't add anything at line like Cheick Moush did. Like, Cheick Moush ended up turning into, like, a decent free throw shooter. Like, that's just really... like, Brooks doesn't really even get to the line.
No, because he plays like he tries to play like he's a 6'6" guy. And it's like, dude, you're 7 foot, dunk. Like, you're bigger than everyone. And even if you're not that strong for a 7-footer, you're strong. This is how physics works. By sheerly being 7 foot tall, you have more weight on your body than almost anyone you're going to be playing. Use it. More weight means more power. Use your power.
And you can't be afraid to get fouled. Like, even if you're not good at shooting free throws, you have to make your moves. You have to go up strong with the ball. And, like, that's the biggest, like, knock on him. Is, like, he's not tough with the ball. And, like, that's been, like, some of the knocks on some of, like, their other guys, like, who they've cycled through the years, where offense isn't their strong suit. So why somebody like DeBerry stood out so much. It's like, he didn't bring anything on defense. Like, offensively, like, he could score. Like, when you have, like, a big man who can come off the bench and score, or start and score, it's like, oh my god. Like, all these post-touches, like, that's what they're for? Like, when, like, you have a guy who, like, offense isn't his strong suit, which, like, isn't really the case for Brooks. Like, it hasn't been, like, his first 2 years. Like, he's rebounding block shots, and he does both of those really well. But then, like, he also, like, doesn't hit the open guy. Like, he's too tentative, and you can't have a tentative guy getting the ball. And, like, I think in the larger scale, you mentioned usage rate. That's, like, a lot of this team's way too tentative. Just, like, early season, like, possessions used. Like, Cumberland is 39%. Keith Williams, 27%. Like, Logan Johnson, 23%. And nobody else is over 20. Like, that's unbelievably, like, one-sided. And, like, you mentioned, like, completely not sustainable. Like, it wasn't sustainable in the Ohio State game. And it's not going to be when you have to go, like, on the road to Mississippi State or play a team that gets talented, like, as UCLA. Like, even in the league, where, like, I know the league is short a lot, but these are, like, tough teams that can know your every move because they're all good coaches and, like, they're all familiar with, like, what you do. So, like, in that sense, it's, like, you have to figure something out. It's, like, just waiting for the guys to fit your system is, like, almost like a fool's errand.
Yeah, I mean, it is a fool's errand because, like, the track record for guys figuring it out, especially big guys, figuring it out for Mick, it's exceedingly small. Like, Justin Jackson figured it out. Yancey Gates figured it out. And, I mean, Gary Clark came in and already knew it. Kyle Washington sort of figured it out. I got the impression that Mick was never really, like, filled with a lot of the stuff that Kyle did, but let it go just because he did so much good stuff. But, like that's not going to work. It's like, if the entire bet of the season is, you know what, Nysir Brooks is going to be a good player. It's like, okay, based on what? Well, he practices really well. Okay. Practices aren't games. He doesn't play well in games. He hasn't played well in games for a while now. The role that you're asking him to perform, he is incapable of performing. I'm trying not to run him down. Like, and this has turned into a bash Nysir Brooks session, and I do genuinely feel bad about it. But he is so frustrating to watch, and my frustration is not exactly with Nysir. He is the avatar of the frustration of my frustration with Mick, because Mick is living the Einstein quote, you know, doing the same shit every time, expecting a different result. That's Mick. To a T.
Yeah, because, like, Nick, neither one of us has said, like I said it before, like, neither one of us is saying, like, said Nysir Brooks to, like, the moon. You're just saying, like, he shouldn't be, like, the focal point of your offense. And, like, if he's going to like his minutes, and that's good. He should, because he's your best interior defender. Like, he and, like, Trey Scott are just, like, not a great combination to play as many minutes as they do. And, like, expecting him to, like, improve offensively, I don't think it was, like, a danger thing. But, like, last year he shot 49% on twos. Like, which is, like, not great. He's, like, right at 50%, like, so far. Like, expecting, like part of, like, the system, Cincinnati system is, like, expecting your role players to, like, grow into your star players. And, like, so far, that just hasn't happened with this team. And, like, you wonder if, like, any of these guys, like, have the potential to be more than role players. Just, I know it was really harsh to say after two games, but I don't know. It's like, you don't see, at least I haven't seen, like, where a star is on this team outside of Cumberland. And, like, maybe Keith Williams.
Like, I mean, Keith Williams can be, because, like, he has all the tools in the toolbox. 6'5", really long, big wing. Can handle it, can shoot okay, can get to the rim pretty much whenever he wants to. Like, that's the starter kit, right?
And he's not afraid to go when he's got the ball. It's like he's not afraid to put it up.
And that's the thing. I mean, the micromanaging of teams has been a Mick theme forever. But, like, it's almost like he recruits personalities that will adhere to that. And then every once in a while he gets one that won't. And he kind of makes do. Like, Kyle Washington really didn't. Personality-wise, that's just not... I mean, you can try to do it on Kyle, but he's so oblivious that he's just not going to notice or care. Keith Williams doesn't seem to be like that. Logan, not really. But a lot of the guys are just... are good soldiers. They'll do what is asked. But this team doesn't need good soldiers right now. Right now they need guys who can, you know, take a game by the balls and just dominate. And, I mean, Jaron can be that, but he's so uncomfortable being that. And, you can tell that he is not comfortable. He's not comfortable being in public. Like, that's always been the impression that I got out of Jaron.
Well,
when he's really flowing and playing good, that kind of goes away. But it's only in those situations. When he's not, it's just he's just a really nice, shy kid.
Yeah, and like that's something he's like come out and said, and the coaching staff has said, like he doesn't want the attention, like he doesn't want to be the star, which is good and like fine. But that doesn't mean he doesn't play like the star. It's like good he's a team guy. Like, because you want a bunch of team guys, and, like, guys who play for each other. At the same time, like, he's, like, by far the best and most talented player on this team. Like, he's got to take it over. Like, Sean Kilpatrick was almost the same way, it seems. Like, he wasn't willing to be the star until, like, he had to be. Like, he took over and was an All-American. Like, I think Cumberland, like, just based on talent, is more talented than Sean Kilpatrick was. And I think if, like, he really, like, took over and, like, this is my team. I'm the man. I'm going to be the guy. But I think he could have a fantastic season and probably be the player of the year in the conference. It's just if he can do it for, like, 35 games.
Yeah, and that's always going to be – I mean, that's going to be the question with him for this season because he's carrying such an otherworldly load. I mean, generally, like, the kind of guys who put up the usage numbers that he's – like, he's hitting that he's going to put up this year, they play for small schools against small schools, right? Play in this kind of conference or against this kind of non-conference slate.
Yeah, and, like, he already dealt with a game where he had a giant bullseye on his back. It's like Ohio State wasn't going to let him get off. And then he did anyway. Like, which just shows his talent level. Like, he made, like, impossible shots in that game. Like, that's the kind of skill and the kind of talent he has. And just, like, looking at the roster makeup, it's like, you know Keith Williams is going to shoot. And he can have games like he did against North Carolina Central. Like, the question with him is, like, can he do it against the quality opponents they have? And I think he can, even though he didn't really do it against Ohio State. But, like, then the question becomes, like, after that, like, who do you got? It's like, Kane Broome, like, who knows, like, why he ended up in the doghouse. Like, he hasn't...
But he's there. He's got a bunk. He's very comfortable in the doghouse. He seems to be living.
And, like, we expected him to be the number two guy on the team, and he's been, like, the number nine guy on the team. Like, Trevor Moore, Like, I really expected a little bit more out of him offensively so far. Like, he's just seemed content to, like, not have the ball, which is
kind of
frustrating.
They keep, like, broadcast keep talking about how Mick says Trevor Moore is the best shooter he's ever recruited. Like, cool. When is he going to shoot? Like, good. In games. Because it hasn't happened. Not saying it can't, it just hasn't.
That's not the exhibition game last year. I talked to Alex Meacham. And, like, he said the same thing about Moore. He's like, Trevor Moore's shot is so pretty. Like, he's going to play, like, 15 minutes a game and light it up. And then, obviously, he did not play 15 minutes a game and light it up. But that was, like, the expectation you have of him. And, like, for whatever reason, they don't hunt to get him shots, for one. Like, I'm not blaming it all on him. But it's like, they don't hunt to get him shots. And, like, he doesn't really seem to look for his own shot unless he's wide open. Like, that's something he definitely has to get better at, is, like, you have to score yourself. Like, you can't rely on other people to get you buckets. Which I kind of think ties into Justin Jennifer, like, the same way. It's like, if he's not squared up, he's not going to shoot.
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, to some extent it is on Trevor Moore to get himself in position to score. But it's also, like, if the entire offense is based on getting post touches, and, like, if everything's working towards that and you don't pass out of the post, how's he supposed to get looks?
Yeah, a very fair point.
I mean, like, fundamentally, what this comes down to be for, like, we have two games. It's a very small sample size. I'm well aware of that, so please don't go spouting small sample size, blah, 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 in my ear. But I've watched a lot of basketball. I've watched a lot of UC basketball, right? The offense last year is about as good as you can get playing mixed system. As good as it's going to get, because you have the two posts who can both score, you have the two posts who can both pass, and it can create a lot of offense out of those looks. This group is not that. So far through two games, the only time the offense has objectively looked good is when they had scrapped the system and just run and just done secondary break stuff. That's the only time it's looked comfortable. That is the only time I've seen Jerron Cumberland look comfortable this year, is playing in that kind of a helter-skelter, frantic environment. So, how long before that becomes the dominant look and the dominant mode of play for this team? Because, I mean, like, it is a square peg, round hole situation. And at this point, my question is, are you going to watch them try to put the square peg in the round hole for 30 games? Because if we are, like, I have better uses for my time. Because I know how that's going to work. And they're probably going to win a lot of games, and they'll probably, maybe probably get to the tournament. But I know how that ends, too. Try new shit. The old shit doesn't work. The old shit hasn't worked. The old shit has not worked in when it matters. But I don't see that kind of spirit of, fuck it, let's try it. And, like, that's what I want from this point at UC, from UC basketball, and it's just not there, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, because, like, you don't have last year's roster. Like, this is a completely different team. Like, in pretty much every single sense of the word, it's like you don't have, like, guys, like, brimming up who can fill that role. And, like, obviously, some of the roles that got left are just, like, unfillable by one person. Like, nobody on the roster can do what Gary Clark did. And, like, that's fine, because Gary Clark was a great player and, like, the best player in the conference last year. And then, like, Jacob Evans, like, he took over the team. Like, he was the heart and soul of the team last year. And, like, he left a gigantic void, especially ball handling, where if you take out Justin Jennifer, which, like, obviously you can. Like, but Justin Jennifer's been really great. 11 is assists, one turnover. The rest of the team has turned the ball over more than they've gotten other guys' shots. And they've done it by a lot. So, like, 20 to 22. It's, like, it's unbelievable. Like, they just aren't good at distributing the ball. And I don't really know, like, what turns you're supposed to make if you just keep playing the same system when, it's not to the strength of your whole entire roster.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's not even that the system isn't to the strength of the entire roster. Like, the system isn't even being executed well. Like, the next game, yeah, when we play Milwaukee on Friday, watch the off-the-ball screens. And you can't see me because this is a podcast, but I apologize. I'm doing giant air quotes for screens off-ball because they don't happen. Like, dudes just run close to the other dude. Like, they don't screen anyone off the ball, ever. Ever, ever, ever. And we wonder why the offense is so stagnant and so tough. It's because it's not run well. Like, there's four sets. Every team they know knows the four sets. It knows exactly where the ball is going to go. And, like, there's no counters to the four sets because if the ball doesn't go to the right person in the right order, nothing happens. And that is so – because it's just objectively bad offense. And, like, I'd be fine if you were running the system well and, like, hitting the marks off the ball and doing – like, getting proper off-ball screens because it would work a lot better. Like, if it, like, what I'm describing is Virginia, basically, where they do the same sort of shit, but they execute it well on offense, and UC doesn't. And UC hasn't for years. And, like, it's just – is not going to get you where you want to go. And Mick has always talked about how what he wants is a national title back in Cincinnati. He wants to bring a title back home. And, I mean, they're farther away now than ever. It really feels that way.
It really feels like last year is going to hang around. Like just hang in the air. Because, like, that was a really amazing team. And, like, the way, like, they fell apart, it's just something that you can't get past. Especially when it looks like the roster's essentially, like, a lot of the same guys who played a ton last year. It's like, that's gonna, like, be the focus, is, like, how do you get better from that? And that gets a lot of pressure on them, I think.
Yeah, and they play like they know it. They play like they feel the pressure. And whether that pressure is self-inflicted or comes from Mick himself, I don't know. But, like, this is not a light, fun, energetic team at the moment.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, like, they get a couple of layup games. Like, they should, like, beat Milwaukee and, like, Western Michigan the same way they beat North Carolina Central. It's like if... like, the key to your team is, like, playing teams that can't shoot. Like, then what do you do when, like, you play somebody who's making shots? It's like, I don't know.
You lose.
It's like, you can... like, they still gave up 30 attempts to, like, North Carolina Central from... or 32-point attempts, 17 three-point attempts, and, like, they hit 8 of them. Like, the three-point defense was, like, pretty poor against Ohio State, because Ohio State got, like, pretty much every look they wanted to from three. Like, some of that's just, like, one of the guys on North Carolina Central went off, but still, I don't really like how many corner threes they gave up against Ohio State either. I don't think Mick has either.
No. I mean, how could he? Like, I'm to the point with this group and this program at this point where it's like, I'm going to watch every game. I'm going to see everything. But, like, my excitement is not really there because I have, like, I just feel like I know how this ends. Like, I know exactly how March is going to play out with this kind of team playing this kind of basketball. Know exactly what happens. So why should I invest emotionally in this group? That's kind of where I'm at. And that's going to result in a late podcast. I feel sorry for you guys, but, like, I cannot be the only one who's feeling this.
And I don't think you are. It's like, I think we've tried to, like, balance the line between, like, what's been, like, good and what's been bad. Like, we're, like, going off of two games, and one of them was, like, objectively terrible. And, like, a lot of, like, the systemic issues are still there, like, with your offense. And, like, because your offense, like, without your best players, like, obviously, like, small sample size, your offense is 83rd on KenPom. Your pace is, like, dead last. Like, it just, like, back to, like, the brand of basketball, like, they played when, like, they weren't really exciting. And when they were, like, grinding to end up with, like, quality seeds in the tournament. Except, like, do they have, like, any type of, like, major years like they've had in the past? It's kind of hard to tell. At least not vocally, because you don't have, like, Troy Copain or, like, Jacob Evans or, like, Gary Clark. Or even, like, somebody like Kyle Washington was, like, very demonstrative. Part of, like, the fun of college basketball is, like, watching these guys mature and, like, become, like, better players. But it's, like, if your guy's ceiling is low, or at least not high as the level in the past few years, that's, like, going to come off as disappointing. Just because that's how expectations work.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, I really want to feel positive about this team. I do. But it's so hard to not get flashbacks to all the times this mode of playing has not worked out. And, like, there's been times where it's worked. Like, let's be real. Mick dragged some garbage-ass teams to the tournament playing this way, especially early. The first couple of runs, those were not good teams. But they...
Definitely not.
You know, they had a culture that got them to that point. And that culture for years. But we're to the point now where that culture is becoming a detriment. Because, like, and I keep going back to, like, at work, when do you do your best work? When you feel valued and when you feel that your contributions matter and that gives you confidence. And... is there anyone on this team that has confidence, like, naturally? I'm struggling. Maybe Logan, but he hasn't had a beat out of him yet.
Keith Williams, I think it's impossible to turn his confidence off.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the, like, you need those guys, and you know. Troy Copain was that guy. Kyle Washington was definitely that guy. Jacob Evans did not say a fucking word, but was that guy. Gary Clark would have been a four-time All-American if he was that guy. But that's just not Gary. But you get the point I'm driving at. Like, you need that kind of personality to kind of bring a team together and propel it to higher, you know, levels than they thought they could reach previously. And this team doesn't have that person, and that's a problem.
It's like, if you go back to, like, the last time they were kind of like rebuilding, just like use that 2015 team, like that team, like, came together late. That team was also, like, what, 17-9 after they lost to Xavier, and it looked like they were in trouble of missing the tournament before, like, they won, like, what, five in a row to close the regular season. Like, ended the season on, like, a high note before, like, they lost to Kentucky. But that team had, like, junior college transfers like Octavius Ellis and Farad Cobb, like, who stepped in and, like, played huge roles. Like, Octavius Ellis, like, that his junior year especially was, like, a revelation. It's like, he was so good. And he was exactly what they needed. Like, that he was, like, the leader they needed, like, to help, like, build Copain and, like, build Clark around. They had Shaq Thomas, too, but, like, Farad Cobb had, like, a monster year. And it's, like, those complementary players, like, who can step in and, like, take the head role. Just, they just don't seem to be, like, be showing up so far. Like, it leaves a lot of pressure on Jerron Cumberland. It's like, if he has a bad game or gets off to a slow start or, like, God forbid, like, gets injured, like, this team is really going to have to do some soul-searching for identity.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, like, this was always going to be a rebuilding year, but I did not feel quite as negative about this team as I do already. And it really has nothing to do with this team as much with the mode of playing. That is just, I'm just tired of it. I mean, like, and I've said the same thing seven different ways this podcast. So I think that's cue that it's about time to wrap it up. But it's just like, that's where I'm at. It's just like, I know what happens. I'm tired of this show. Can I see a different show?
Yeah, and look, that's really what the season like leads to. Like we said it last week. We even said it again, like today. Like this, the story of this season is going to be, like, A, how you finish since, like, the conference schedule is backloaded, and B, what you do in March. Like, if it's the NCAA tournament or, like, God forbid, like, you end up in the NIT or something. Like, it's, like, how you finish the season. And, like, hopefully, like, over the next couple of games, they play Friday and Monday against Milwaukee and Western Michigan. Like, they'll have some good performances and we'll have something to talk about before they hit, like, their Thanksgiving tournament. But, like, it's a Mick team, and they're going to be a Mick team. And, like, the big question with this squad is, like, is that for better or for worse?
We'll find out.